You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Belated 4th of July edition. It's Saturday, July 6th. We've been playing patriotic music tonight. Might as well play my very favorite before the end of the show, and there it is, and you know why. I'm James Edwards. We're coming to you live tonight from our flagship studio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I want to thank again my pastor, David Rogers, for joining us as our featured guest during the second hour. I told Pastor that we're going to have an expert on energy, a physics expert on for the third hour to talk about energy as it relates to immigration and how we can perhaps solve both of those problems. And he said, we're going to put a turnstile on the border every time they come through. It generates a little bit of energy. That would certainly solve our dependency on foreign energy. But I think what Edwin Taylor is going to share with us tonight is a little more scholarly than that. And I want to welcome back my good friend Edwin Taylor, who, again, as I mentioned, is an expert on the issues of physics and energy. And he's going to be explaining this evening why immigration will be banned, in his opinion, very soon, and deportation increased. And how that ties in with energy. Edwin appeared with us last year for what was a very interesting interview, a riveting interview, and he makes his debut appearance this evening. Edwin, welcome back to the show.
Dear audience, immigration as we know it is coming to an end soon. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. By 2020, 7 years from now, every country in the world will have banned immigration forever and will be deporting millions of third worlders per year. And the white birth rate will be skyrocketing back up to replacement fertility and beyond. It might seem like a shocking claim, but this is not the wacky proclamation of a doomsday cult or an apocalyptic Bible prophecy set. This is the scientific conclusion of some of the most world-famous and highly regarded geologists, physicists, investment bankers, and politicians, like Walter Yonke of the Geology Department at the University of Oregon, Eugene, Oregon. These are rational, conservative individuals who are deeply concerned about a phenomenon called global peak oil, global peak coal, global peak natural gas, and global peak uranium. The United States gets 95% of its energy from coal, oil, gas, and uranium. And what's happening is that we're simply running out of the stuff. That's what's going on. That's why we're going deeper and deeper into recession. That's why the unemployment rate's 25% in the United States and Europe, if you count people who've given up looking for work. And soon we're going to have over 50% unemployment. Some more white women have to be housewives again, like in the 1950s, when we weren't on these jobs everywhere. What lowered the white birth rate, or Japanese or South Korean birth rate, is very high levels of energy consumption. And what's allowing all these immigrants to pour in is very high levels of energy consumption. Economic growth and population growth is based upon more and more fossil fuels. So it created this situation where first world countries with a low birth rate, now these immigrants are invading, this fossil energy keeps being ramped up and up and up to ridiculous levels. Now it's all being thrown in reverse. Now, important book to me in understanding the whole situation is Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs, and Steel. I'm sure that a lot of people listening are familiar with the book. It was reviewed favorably by Steve Failure. And what the book talks about is energy resources, like domesticated plants and animals, in creating culture and creating civilization. Energy is the fuel of civilization. Without surplus energy, there would be no civilization. Huge amounts of energy are required to sustain one. Now, for most of white people's history, in Europe, white people were living by hunting and gathering. And that was the case in Northern Europe up until only about 500 years ago. Most of our evolution occurred back in the hunter-gatherer days. Men had to hunt, and women had to gather and take care of the kids. That's where most of our evolution occurred. The reason why women are attracted to men who are funny or intelligent, because back in the hunter-gatherer days, you'd get more food if you hooked up with somebody who was funny or intelligent. What kept their numbers in check was the amount of food energy available. Now, the reason why the first civilization in Europe was in Greece is because that was the first part of Europe to get wheat from the Middle East. With wheat, you could feed large numbers of people, you could feed large numbers of slaves. Civilization is based upon slave labor. Slave labor provides the freedom from toil to devote time to education or intellectual pursuits. In Egypt, the pyramids were built by slaves, fed by wheat. In Greece and Rome, there were huge slave populations. Plato and Aristotle were supported by thousands of slaves. Now, wheat could only grow in Southern Europe, so it was always Southern Europe.
Edwin, I'm going to ask you to hold up your commentary and presentation right there, my friend. We're going to come back and let you keep going right where we're pausing, right after these words from our sponsor. Stay tuned, everybody.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. A belated 4th of July installment. We're doing things a little bit differently this weekend because it is a holiday weekend. And if you do things outside of the normal routine, it's going to be on a holiday weekend, right? We had a good second hour with a very dear friend of mine. And now on the radio program, on the line with us for the remainder of the program, I should say, is Edwin Taylor. And he is a physics expert who is offering to us his theory on how the issues of energy and immigration may be linked and how solving one problem could potentially solve the other. This is a little bit different kind of an interview. As I said, it's a little bit different kind of a show with it being a holiday installment. And so I have not really prepared any questions. I've been talking with Edwin since April about him making his encore appearance with us this evening, and I just want to give him all the time in the world to lay out his case, to make his presentation, and let's just see where it goes. A lot of times people say if something sounds too good to be true, it normally is. I'm hoping that this is not the case here. So, Edwin, back to you, my friend. Again, picking up where you left off, and the overall question being, how are the issues of immigration and energy linked?
Well, civilization began in Europe using domesticated crops like wheat and slave labor. But then with the spread of Christianity, slave owners started to free their slaves, and it led to a decline in civilization during the Dark Ages. And civilization couldn't be revived until alternative sources of energy could be found, like the water wheel or wind. And in the 1300s and 1400s, the Spanish and Portuguese in the Southwest perfected the sailing ship with sails, which replaced the slave-driven galley, and with ships with sails using wind, Europe was powerful enough to preempt for herself the vast empty areas of the Western Hemisphere to build new nations of European stock in North America and South America. And the Indians in North and South America actually had 60% of all domesticated crops, like corn or the potato or sweet potato or wheat, and those would grow in Northern Europe. So when the Spanish brought those crops back, people didn't have to live by hunting and gathering anymore in Northern Europe. So the first civilizations were based upon plants and animals, but those are still very limited in what they can provide. So by maybe the 1800s up until today, we were left with a situation, which is something Jared Diamond talks about, and then Germs and Steel, which is how everything was invented by white people. All of our patents are by whites. All of the curriculum taught at our universities, all of our technology, everything was invented by whites. And then in Latin America, whites interbred with blacks and Indians, creating Latinos, who are mestizo or mulatto. So we're left with a situation that looks pretty bleak, to say the least. And that's at least part of what Jared Diamond tries to explain in Guns, Germs, and Steel, at least part of the explanation of white people's success was mastering energy resources, the fuel of civilization. The next step, the ladder of civilization, was in the 1700s in England. England had most of Europe's coal. So in 1712, coal mines used to flood, and Thomas Newcomen invented a steam engine for pumping water out of coal mines using coal. It was so inefficient, it barely worked. Then in 1769, James Watt, who was a Scottish genius, invented a much more efficient steam engine, and that started the Industrial Revolution using coal. Soon they were powering factories and trains and just about everything on coal. By 1865, England was using 100 million tons of coal a year and had a fast-growing population, economy, military, and economic supremacy using coal. Then in 1865, the English economist William Stanley Javon, who was 29, same age as me, came out with a book called The Coal Question, questioning how long coal's going to last, because we live in a world with limits. Energy has always been a limit. And with fossil fuels, there's only so much of stuff in the earth. So William Stanley Javon said, you know, maybe in about 50 years, England's going to run into some problems with coal. They peaked in 1912 at 300 million tons a year. Now it's about 1% what it was in 1912. And the North Sea in England has declined by 75% since 1999. They're running out of energy. So we live in a world with limits. There are limits to mindless overconsumption and immigration. There are limits. So, and in 1865, what allowed the United States to free the slaves was making fossil fuels our slaves. We invented the technology to get the slave labor done by machines running on fossil energy. A single barrel of oil contains 5.8 million BTUs, the energy equivalent of 25,000 hours of human labor. Barrel of oil is like 12 slaves working for a year. The average person in the United States used to use 25 barrels of oil, 4 tons of coal, and 73,000 cubic feet of natural gas every year. That's like 500 slaves. The energy to build our homes, that takes a lot of energy, making steel and concrete, paving our roads with asphalt made from oil. Making a car or laptop computer requires 10 times its own weight in fossil fuels. Food production is very energy intensive. every calorie of food we eat is the result of 10 calories of fossil fuels. They run the farm machinery and oil. Making the fertilizer takes a lot of energy. The Haber-Bosch process of nitrogen fixation was invented in 1908 in Germany. Just to provide us with electricity, it's very energy intensive. The enormous fossil energy that we consume allows us to control the services of hundreds of slaves. Human muscle power is like 1/20th horsepower or 35 watts continuously. So the energy equivalent of 3,000 men push our cars down the road, or 1 million men lift a jet airplane across the sky. Huge numbers of slaves are needed just to prepare our food or manufacture what we own or create jobs. So what powers civilization is all of this fossil energy. Now, in the 1950s, oil and natural gas consumption in the United States doubled. Then in the 1960s, it doubled again. And in each of those decades, we consume more oil and gas than all of our previous history.
All right, Edwin, we're going to have to pause right there. You're making my job very easy tonight, laying out a methodical case that follows a logical progression, and I appreciate that. Really enjoying listening right now. So stay tuned, everybody. We're going to continue in just a few minutes.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards. We're rounding the final turn here, heading into the last half hour of a holiday weekend show. And as you can tell here, this third and final hour, we're doing things a little bit differently tonight. Rather than having a back and forth, we're basically letting our friend Edwin Taylor make his case, make an uninterrupted presentation. As you can see, he's following a logical and sometimes chronological path here. And Edwin, that being said, we've got two segments left. I want to give you all the time you need to present this case. We've been talking about this appearance since April, so I want to make sure that you're able to get it all out there. So back over to you.
So between 1950 and 1970, oil and natural gas consumption in the United States quadrupled. And that's sort of, I think, what created all the changes in the United States between 1950 and 1970 is that this fossil energy kept going up. That's what allowed liberals to keep creating bigger and bigger government, more social programs, and to create all these jobs. You know, I think we should create like 500,000 jobs a month. So by 1970, most white women were working. They didn't have enough time to raise enough kids, so that's what lowered the white birth rate. Like in Japan or South Korea, they're high energy countries. They have a birth rate of just 1.25. And then in 1965, they just keep this infinite growth paradigm going. They just opened up the floodgates to the third world. And we have to keep ramping up fossil fuels more and more and more to keep creating all these jobs and keep building houses and producing more food. All this growth is just based entirely upon ramping up fossil fuels to ridiculous levels, and we haven't really done anything at all to try and conserve some of this stuff. But now it's basically payback time. Now we're just running out of this stuff. We're about twice as efficient as in 1975. In 1975, we were 21% efficient. Now we're about 45%. Well, that efficiency didn't cause us to use less. We just live in like this infinite growth paradigm where politicians think we have to let in millions of people a year and create hundreds of thousands of jobs at least every month. Just keep going 100 miles an hour forever. I think that this infinite growth paradigm is killing us all. The people I've learned about this from are like Albert Bartlett, physics professor of Colorado, or Richard Heinberg, Michael C. Rupert. They think that we're ramping up fossil fuels to ridiculous levels. It's just to basically let all these immigrants pour in. It's just to create too many jobs, so white women are going 100 miles an hour, and that's what lowers their birth rate. Like in Saudi Arabia, they're flooded in energy. The demand for electricity is doubling every 7 years. Most of their water is from desalination using oil. But in Saudi Arabia, the women aren't allowed to work, so they have a really high birth rate in Saudi Arabia, but in countries like Japan or white countries, the birth rate's below replacement. It's only been like that since the 60s when its energy consumption doubled and just kept being ramped up and up and up. Now we're going to be forced, basically, to go back to what things were like in the 50s or earlier. Now we're just going to keep going deeper into recession. Jobs will keep disappearing. So the whole immigration story changes, the low white birth rate story changes tremendously. Now, in California, they've doubled the size of their population since the 1970s. In the 1970s, California had like the best education system in the world, was the best place to live in the world. Now California's gone from first to worst. They're burning off like two or three times as much fossil fuels in the 1970s. They just kept ramping it up and ramping it up. Just kept letting massive numbers, mestizos pour in, or Asians pour in. These fossil fuels are being ramped up as like a handout to the third world. Now, the United States peaked in oil production in 1970. It's declined by about half since 1970. It'll be hardly anything at all by about 2030. The United States was importing 15 million barrels of oil a day in 2006. Now it's about 6 million barrels a day. It'll be basically nothing at all by 2020. The world now is starting to enter decline in global oil production at the same time as China and India are demanding more. In the Middle East, the population's growing so rapidly that they won't be able to export any oil at all by 2025. Global oil production is going to decline by half over the next 20 years. The world probably only has enough oil to last maybe 30 to 40 years, but long before you run out, you sort of finish off the low-hanging fruit, and what's left is more difficult to mine, so it's going to be declining. The United States and Europe and Japan will be totally cut off from the oil imports by 2020. So it'll just be a lot deeper into recession. There'll be a lot higher unemployment. So immigration will be banned. We'll be deporting third worlders by millions upon millions every year. So I think Europe will probably be 100% white again by about 2035. And the United States, the population is going to be coming down tremendously or something like this happening. In California, it's just freeways everywhere and cars everywhere. In Los Angeles, just to provide people with food and water, extremely energy intensive in Los Angeles. It could just be a die-off. I mean, California's population probably won't even be as high as in the 70s. A few decades from now, California will be mostly white again. It's going to be deporting millions upon millions of third worlders. Coal is now declining by 7.5% per year in the United States. The coal reserves are giving out. We're using less electricity. Natural gas is about to go off a cliff in the United States. There's a new book out that came out a few weeks ago called Cold, Hungry, and in the Dark, Exploding the Natural Gas Supply Myth by Art Berman. He thinks that we have enough shale gas to last about 6 years. Shale gas has been extremely overhyped. We're not going to be importing any oil or gas at all in only about 5 years, and our domestic production will be collapsing. So we'll be a totally different country by 2025. Now, in 2007, I was living in California near Walnut Creek, and I went to this Lesher Center where they have newsmakers or famous people, and they had Vicente Fox, President of Mexico. They had Bob Dole. I listened to Bob Dole just give this ridiculous speech about how there's no difference at all between the Democrats and Republicans. You don't have any say at all. And one of these days, before the century is out, Hispanic will be the major population in the United States. And that would just be the case. Bob Dole probably doesn't even know anything about the energy situation. In 2007, we were using 105 quadrillion BTUs a year. Now it's 85, so that's coming down. By 2020, it'll probably be 50. And by 2030, 20. And by 2040, basically nothing. So that's what we're facing. You know, maybe things were better for white people in the 1800s than they are now. It would have been nicer if we could have just ended immigration in 1965 and just ended economic growth and job creation in 1965, just tried to conserve fossil fuels and just had things stay the way they were in the 50s. It was just too tempting to keep ramping that up and up and up and keep going 100 miles an hour. So now it's payback time. Now we're going to be forced to change. We're going to be forced to go back to the way things were in the 1800s. A lot of people have a hard time believing this could really be happening to us, but that's what we're facing.
Well, let's hold it right there again, my friend. We'll let you make some parting shots and final thoughts on this when we return. The Political Cesspool 4th of July Holiday Edition concludes right after this.
Hi, this is Vincent Finelli with USAPrepares.com. This July 19th, 20th, and 21st is our 6th Get Prepared Expo in Lebanon, Missouri, the largest in the USA. This is your opportunity to get prepared for every type of emergency and disaster that's headed our way. We've had deadly hurricanes, deadly tornadoes, deadly droughts. The Get Prepared Expo has the exhibits, the demonstrations, the seminars, and the workshops designed to help you prepare. Learn how and where to start and how to plan for contingencies. Expect more seminars than you can attend. Violent climate change, water purification, solar power, storm shelters, food storage plans, survival gardening, detecting radiation. What if you can't get to a doctor to fill a prescription? Learn alternative ways to control your blood pressure, learn natural healing, become a Native American medicine man or woman. 3 days, $18 at Get Prepared Expo or $10 a day at the door. Have a plan. Bring your family. Let the Get Prepared Expo get you started. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. The conclusion of our holiday show. A little bit different hour here than our standard fare. We will be back on the beaten path next week at full strength with myself, Keith Alexander, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller all contributing. Interesting theory here being shared by Edwin Taylor, one you won't hear anywhere else on the radio except for the political cesspool. We'll see if it all pans out. Now, Edwin, nobody gets carte blanche on the political cesspool, a free pass without questions being asked, not even Pat Buchanan. But you've gotten it tonight, as I said, and as I shared with the audience a couple of minutes ago. You know, we've been talking about having you back on since April to present this case. And I wanted to give you the full hour, uninterrupted, to present your theory here. You've got the final segment to yourself as well to bring this thing in for a landing and arrive at a conclusion. So take us home, my friend.
All right. Well, if you do have a question that comes to mind, you can feel free to ask.
Well, of course I would. Thank you for that.
I'd just like to say that part of understanding the key to white people's success in creating civilization up until the 50s was mastering energy resources, and the key to our failure since the 60s was ramping up fossil fuels to ridiculous levels. That's what lowered the white or Japanese birth rate, and that's what's allowing all these third worlders to invade. So it would have been nice if we could have just had something more like steady state from the 50s onward, but we just felt like we have to keep adding more and more people and creating 500,000 jobs a month and just keep going 100 miles an hour forever. Obama says that the economy is going to grow by 3.6% per year. We would be using 9 times as much energy in 70 years. That's just ridiculous. We'd have everybody in the world living here. So now it's payback time. Now we're going to be forced to change. Now, and really, it's kind of depressing, but really none of these alternatives to fossil fuels are going to work. Fossil fuels have many very unique characteristics, such as current ability to be produced on a large scale, very high energy density, current low cost, their concentrated form of stored energy. All of these renewables that liberals promised us are complete losers. It would actually take more energy to make them than they produce. So renewables would actually cause us to run out of fossil fuels even faster. Maybe it would have been better if renewables could provide more, and we never even got fossil fuels. But all there really is fossil fuels and nuclear. That's all there is, fossil fuels and nuclear. Liberals were wrong about renewables. For biofuels, it takes more energy to make biofuels than they produce, because they run the tractors and oil, making fertilizer takes a lot of energy. I think that we can have a return to slavery. I think that by 2040, blacks could literally be our slaves again, working in the fields.
I'm certainly not going to advocate for that.
I know you're not going to advocate for that, but every calorie of food we eat is the result of 10 calories of fossil fuels. Just to feed us is very energy intensive. So we could have a return to slavery again by 2040.
Well, if we do have a return to slavery.
We could be 90% white and 10% black, and blacks could be our slaves again. We could be going back to 1800.
Well, I don't think anyone wants to go there. And I think, unfortunately, if there ever was that, perhaps we would be the ones in slavery again. And, of course, slavery wasn't a sole black enterprise either, but that's neither here nor there, I guess.
That's what we're facing, though. I mean, for wind and solar, the electricity is very unreliable. Solar panels only work 20% of the time, even in the desert, and we can't really store the electricity. So it's very unreliable. You can't do base load. It's expensive and unreliable, and it takes about as much energy to make a solar panel as the solar panel produces. So the alternatives to fossil fuels really aren't there. So what's the United States going to be like in 2040 when we lose our 500 energy slaves? And what's it going to be like when we lose that 25 barrels of oil, 4 tons of coal, and 73,000 cubic feet of natural gas per person per year. Now, for every immigrant, of course, it's another huge amount of energy. These population increases are based on more fossil fuels. It's like this big party where we just keep adding more people and adding more people. Now it's all coming to an end, so we're going to see immigration be banned. We're going to see most of the people arrive in the 70s and 80s be deported. Their population is going to be coming down. And the only alternative we're really left with is nuclear fission.
Right. Now, that's something I was thinking you would get at. So a nuclear economy, you think that could be in the future?
I do think that could be in the future, but there's two main problems with nuclear. One is that nuclear plants produce electricity, which is a limited replacement for oil and powering cars or trucks or tractors. Another problem is that uranium is limited. The United States imports 90% of its uranium, mostly from Russia. And that's called megatons to megawatts. That's scheduled to end in November of this year. So our uranium imports are about to be cut off, just like our oil imports. There's going to be a uranium shortage. But to say that we're running out of uranium is only half the story. Because when they discovered nuclear power in the 30s and 40s, only 0.7% of uranium is fissionable, uranium-235. And the light water reactors we use now just use that 0.7% as directly fissionable. 99.3% is not fissionable. But if it absorbs a neutron, it beta decays into plutonium-239, which is fissionable. And thorium is more abundant than uranium. And when thorium absorbs a neutron, it beta decays into uranium-233, which is fissionable. And when a scientist discovered this in the 40s, like Eugene Wigner at UC Berkeley, and he had his grad student take a look at uranium-233 and said, I think it'll fission. His grad student said, yes, U-233 will fission. I've created something new. Then he asked, how many neutrons are given off by U-233 when it fissions? Because if that number is below 2, we don't have a story here. But if that number is above 2, you can indefinitely catalyze the burning of thorium by converting it into U-233, or catalyze U-238 into plutonium. And his grad student came back and told him it's 2.4. And that's probably the greatest discovery in human history, because with the breeder reactor, you can get 100 times the energy from the same amount of uranium or thorium. And you can use a much lower ore grade within the earth, like uranium and thorium and granite, using breeder reactors, but have 100 times the energy density of coal.
Well, Edwin, I want to ask you to pause right there. We have about a little over a minute left, so I want to give you 60 seconds just to wrap up anything that you haven't been able to share. I appreciate your presentation tonight. Certainly agree with you on some points. Others I'm skeptical about, and others I just perhaps hope don't happen with regards to, well, you know, the slavery thing. I just don't think it's going to happen. Not that we would want it. Certainly we don't, and we don't want to be the practitioners or the victims of that. But you got 60 seconds here, my friend, to make a final thought, a parting shot to the audience that perhaps we haven't got to, or just a quick summation. Go.
The only thing we're really left with is the nuclear fission breeder reactor. For the light water reactors we use now, there's going to be a uranium shortage. The breeder reactors have been largely abandoned. Bill Clinton and John Kerry shut down a breeder program in 1994, and they canceled it and scattered it to the wind. The Clinch River breeder reactor was shut down by Jimmy Carter in 1980. Breeder reactors were relegated to the extreme right-wing fringes of the Republican Party, and liberals had us abandon it. So none of these alternatives are really going to work. So we're going to be forced to power down, forced to go deeper into recession. There's going to be higher and higher unemployment. So I really think this is going to force us to end inflation and supporting recent migrants.
Edwin, we're out of time. I appreciate you tonight and appreciate your theory. We'll see how it all plays out. Certainly time will tell. And until then, everybody, I'm James Edwards for the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We should, you know, I don't have a problem with nuclear energy, by the way. I think America should always be dependent on no one but ourselves to provide our energy source. And Edwin, thanks again for your time tonight. We'll see you next week, everybody. God bless and have a great rest of the weekend.